of all places, to 1 John. And we're in the third chapter. I really want to encourage you, if you haven't gotten to hear all of the messages, I want to encourage you to go to the internet and listen to these, because there are some deep things. We started chewing on meat last week, and Debbie said after the message, she said, boy, you could just dwell on some of those things that we shared, and you can because they are crucial things to the body of Christ. But we're not going to review, but we're going to start off in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, behold. Now, I got to stop right there. Behold. Now, what does that mean? Well, today we would say, look, see. In other words, pay attention. That's what he's trying to say. We've gone through some basic things of Christianity in the first two chapters, and he says in this third chapter, he starts out, now listen to this. Pay attention to what I'm going to tell you, because this will explain some of the things I've been passing on to you and talking to you about. So you've got to get this. He says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Now, again, he's saying you've got to grasp the quality of love that the Father has bestowed or given to us. This love that God has given to us, you can call it Yahweh's grace. You can call it his favor. You can call it his love. But it's all wrapped up together. If you receive the love of God that God has given to us, you receive grace. Amen? You receive his favor because you've received his love. Now, he's given this to us, and we'll get back to that in a minute, but he's given to this. This is a love of intimacy. This is not a sexual love. It's not a brotherly love. It's not the love of a friend for a friend, but it's a love that is expressed in fellowship, in the koinonia that we've been talking about of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said in John 14:7, he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. This is the love, this is the koinonia that John is writing about, because koinonia is found in the Trinity. You cannot understand koinonia if you don't understand the Trinity. It's an insight to how the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work. And they work together, they flow together, they don't overstep each other's bounds, but they cooperate, and the best word I can come up with, it's a really old-fashioned word, they are commingled to where, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And it's talking about the unity that God possesses in himself. Yeah, I know we sometimes argue with ourselves. You know, God doesn't argue with himself. He doesn't have these internal debates going on all the time. Should I have done that? Shouldn't I have done that? You know, am I really as stupid as what everybody says? No, God does not have those issues, because he's in unity with himself. He has confidence in himself. He knows who he is. He knows what is happening, and he knows the solution for it. There is no confusion. There is no cloudiness. There is no darkness in God. And we are to have that same kind of fellowship, that same kind of koinonia in God that he has in himself. That's why we've got to understand that we are in Christ, because the fellowship is expressed in the Trinity. Now think about this. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let me tell you something that's from a different point of view. God could have saved the world without ever making us sons or children of God. He could save you without ever making you a child. But he didn't. He saved us, pouring out his love to us. God could snap his fingers and get you out of all the problems that you're in. He could change the course and direction of your life by just manipulating everything about you and directing you to the right conclusion, okay? But he doesn't do it that way. Instead, he says, his love he's bestowed upon us, that he calls us children of God. He wants fellowship. He wants us to be part of who he is, not just creatures on the earth. not just things running around that he can direct, not like toy soldiers that he can line up and knock down at his will. He wants us to have intimacy with him. That's why this chapter starts out, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." That is a wonderful thing. That is a beautiful thing, that God wants to have intimacy with you. And he's made that way for intimacy through Jesus Christ, who died in our place that we might live and have life in him. Amen? Now, this agape, this love of Yahweh, invites us into a place of intimacy with God. It's interesting. This is a, well, I'll go into it. Go to John 14. We'll do it this way. John chapter 14. Keep your place in 1 John 3, because we'll be back in a moment. But John 14, starting in verse 9, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" This is, he's talking about that unity that he has with God, that unity of the Father and the Son. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Verse 10, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" So that's a dual question. We can believe that Jesus is in the Father, but not that the Father is in Jesus. How do I say that so you understand it? We all know that when you die, you're going to go and be with God. We've got that pretty well secure, right? But do you know that God is in you now? See, you can believe one without the other. You can believe that when you die that you'll be with God and not believe that God is with you now. One of these days. Yeah, one of these days when we get to heaven, I'll know God. Well, you can know him now. Well, no man can know God now. We say it in different ways. You can't know the will of God. Yeah, I can. The will of God is not that hard to figure out. I pray for your souls to prosper and that you be in health, or be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. That's the will of God. That the devil is under our feet, that's the will of God. That death is no longer dominant in our lives, that's the will of God. That the kingdom of heaven be preached in all the earth, that's the will of God. What's so hard about this? Well, it's hard because one of these days we'll be with God in heaven, but you know, we just never have that assurance that God is with us now. One of the great breakthroughs in my life was when our pastor came to us years ago and sat down, and he said, "Do you know that you're born again? Do you know that you're saved?" Well, the way we were brought up, we answered appropriately. I hope I am. You know, we're believing and trusting God, but you know, you don't know till you're gone. You don't know till you appear. He said, but here John, the last verse in chapter 20 says, "These things are written that you may know that you are saved." So do you know that you're saved? Well, I hope so. And he left that night. He was totally frustrated with us because we were taking that religion thing. And we hope so. And Debbie and I talked about it for a long time that night, went to bed and were still talking about it. And the next Sunday in church, he gave an altar call, and we were the first ones out of the pew down front. Now, did we believe in Jesus? Yes, we believe in Jesus. Were we saved? Yes, we were saved. But we didn't know that God was with us. Because to say that is haughty. How can you say God is with you? I say it because he said it. That he comes and makes his home in us and dwells in us. If God says it, I'm just agreeing with him. Do I think he's doing it because I'm so special? Well, actually, I am special, but no, that's not why. By the way, you're special too, because you're created in the image of God. And you're created for God to dwell in you. But see, there's that change of where God is with me. And once you say that, once you make that comment, you get all kinds of attacks because, well, who do you think you are? I just think I am what the Word says I am. He says, "Brethren, behold what kind of love the Father has given, bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." This is what Jesus is talking about. Again, John 14, verse 10. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now get verse 13. I mean, that 12 is enough to choke you. If you believe that the Father is in Jesus, if you believe that Jesus is in the Father, if you believe those things, you will do the same works that Jesus does, and you will do even greater works than these. Why? Because Jesus goes to the Father. Wow. I mean, we could preach on that for about 14 years, and many people still wouldn't get it. Verse 13 says, this is the kicker that really gets people upset. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Son may be glorified in, or that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, how do we know that? The only way that can work is if you're in unity with God. The only way that functions if you are in the Trinity. If you know that you are in the Father and the Father is in you. Because if you don't believe that, if you don't accept that, a double-minded man receives nothing of the Lord. Well, I just don't know why this doesn't work. Are you with God? Well, I hope so. No, you got to get beyond the hope so. You've got to get it settled in your heart. Are you born again? If you are, God dwells in you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. God dwells in you. You are now a child of God. Now let's go to verse, still in 14. Let's go to verse, I think it's 16 or 19. Verse 21. He said, Jesus again says, he who keeps my commandments and he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest or show myself to him. Well, how come I don't see God in my life? Are you keeping his commandments? Because he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. How do I know that I love God? I do what he says to do. It's that simple. Well, does that mean I have to wear my hair up in a box? No. We're talking about spiritual things. We're talking, let's see if this other verse says it. Go to verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, here's the question that we ask. When are these things going to happen? When is this going to occur? When am I going to know these things? When am I going to have these things? Well, we're now children of God. And the curious thing about it, the word children here, because there's a lot of different words in Scripture for children. There's one for a little bitty baby, you know, that just kind of looks like, that drools. There's that kind of a baby. There's a word for a child that is a little bit more mature, an adolescent. There's a son of God that is one walking in maturity, one is walking in his rightful place as son, taking on the responsibilities. None of those are this word. This word, child of God, is a child by birth. There's nothing about age. There's nothing about walking in the things in the authority that you have, the rights that you have as a son. It's a child. You are a child of God by birth. Now, you can be an undeveloped child or a developed child. But you're a child for the simple reason that you are born again. You're a child of God. Simply because you believe on Jesus Christ. So when is it going to occur? Well, to be born again makes you a child of God simply by birth. Now, there's three crucial things that John has revealed to us so far in our studies. First, the love of the Father is a gift. You just have to receive it. So many people are struggling. Does God really love me? Let me give you a clue. Yes. You know, if you can't figure out, he loves you. End of debate. Does God really care anything about me at all? Yes, he does. That's why he sent Jesus, first of all. That's why he gave us the covenant. That's why he gave us the law, because he loves you so much. But it's a gift, and you have to choose to receive the gift. Secondly, this love gives us intimacy or fellowship with God. I'll go back to 1 John 3. He says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we shall know him, that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure." Now, this intimacy, this is what he's talking about. If you're a child of God, you have the right to have intimacy with God. The right to have intimacy with God. Nothing can keep you out of that place of intimacy with God except you. What can separate us from the love of God? Can fire, can heights, can devils? What can separate you from the love of God? And the answer is nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's good news. That's good news. Nothing can separate. So this love gives us an opportunity for intimacy or fellowship with the Father. Thirdly, this love gives us hope and causes self-purification. That's what it says in verse 3. He who has this hope of intimacy with the Father, in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So this love that God has given to us, if we walk in that love, if we accept that love, it'll work to purify you in all the walk of your life. So that's why John says, walk in the light as he is in the light. You can't walk in my light. You can't walk in the things that God's revealed to me. I've got to walk in that. But you can walk in what God has shown you. If all you know is you're born again, when you die, you're going to heaven, walk in it. Because you're a child of God. Walk in that. God is with me. God is with me. God is with me. When I got born again, and I was in college, and Stephen's got maybe a head start on me on that part, but I didn't really invite Christ in my life until I was in college. And I remember, you know, for several years, I would walk around and say, "Oh, God, I thank you, you're with me. I thank you, you're with me. I thank you, you're with me." I began to read the Psalms. God taught me how to pray by reading the Psalms. And sometimes I could agree with those Psalms so much, "Oh, God, where are you?" You know, that cry of just, what is going on in my life? But God used that to teach me how to pray. But all the time I'm going, "God, I thank you, you're with me. I thank you, God, that you're with me." Do you know how few Christians do that? To thank God that you're with me when they're in a crisis. So, no, you thank God you're with me. Thank God you are with me. I didn't even know who God was at the time. I didn't know squat. I didn't know anything about the new birth. I just knew God was with me. I knew it just because he was with me. And I began to develop that, and God talked with me, and we walked across campus, and I would ask him questions, and he would answer. We had a 3-year conversation going, and then I got out of college, went back to church, and I heard my father, the preacher, say, "Well, God doesn't talk to us anymore like he did to the prophets of old. He only talks to us through the tradition of the church and through the written word of God." So I quit talking to God. And it wasn't until I got back into ministry, was in my second church, and I'm reading John chapter 10, and Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." And the first time since I got out of college and I heard my dad's message, the first time I asked God a serious question. Now, he was leading me, he was guiding me, but I didn't talk with him. I prayed, but I didn't talk with God. And I asked God a question, how do we know your voice? And just in a second, less than a second, he answered, "Because I talk to you." I said, "You talk to us?" He goes, "Yes." And he reminded me of college. You know what my glorified response was? I'm a pastor of a church. I've been through cemetery. I'm in seminary. I know the theologians. I know the doctrine. I know the history of the church. And I asked God this crucial question. "That was you?" He goes, "Yeah." And all I could do is repent. God, see, you don't have to know a lot to know God is with you. That's my point. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have the Bible memorized. You don't have to know every scripture about healing to get healed. You need to know God is with you. Amen? You need to know he's with you. He'll never forsake you in time of trouble, hallelujah. He'll make a door where there is no door. He'll open the way. He'll bless you. He'll give you wisdom when you need it. Right before tests, it's a really good time. Give me wisdom. Remember we had one girl came in, she was in college, she says, Gordon, I think I'm losing my mind. I am studying, I'm doing all this stuff, and I've got, my mind is so confused, and I've got finals coming up. And we prayed for her for peace, and that God would give her the answers on the test, and she relaxed. She came back from the test, we asked, how'd you do? She says, I got A's, I don't know how I did it. She said, yes, I do. Yes, God was with me. Because she said, I never went into tests so calm as when you guys prayed for me. God will help you in practical things. He's not this thing that hovers out in the universe. We just, wow, I wonder what God is doing today. Well, he's with you today. He's with you today. Just acknowledge it. Thank you, Lord, you're with me. Thank you, God, you're in me. Thank you, God. See, this is the fellowship. This is the unity. This is the koinonia that God is drawing us into. Behold the manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon his children. And yet we just accept it and we go on. It's like, well, no big deal. Everyone has this. No, they don't. I'm telling you, as a Christian, as a believer, as someone brought up in church, they don't all have it. They're not aware of it. I've heard a good friend of mine, a pastor, say that if you think you hear God talking to you, you're crazy. Well, that'll make you shut up real quick, won't it? If you ever hear a pastor say, God told me, whoa, put up the crosses, I mean, let's get ready here. We got a demon in the church. What would you do with Jesus? I don't say anything except what I hear my Father tell me. Let's crucify him. Oh, wait, he's the Son of God, isn't he? Well, we couldn't do that. But we're to be conformed to his image, right? Does Jesus know the Father? Does Jesus have koinonia with him? Are you in Christ? Is Christ in you? You have koinonia with the Father. And Jesus even promised the Holy Spirit will reveal to you all truth. And bring to your remembrance all the things that I've shared with you. See, we disrespect God when we say he won't talk to you. We disrespect God in so many ways. And then we wonder, well, why doesn't God answer my prayers? Jesus said in John chapter 4, or chapter 14 that we looked at, he says, if you have my commandments and you keep them, watch over them diligently, if you keep these commandments, you can have what you ask. Why? You're in fellowship with God. Is God keeping anything from himself? No. If you're in God, why would he keep anything from you? Paul even went so far to say, why do we fight and argue? Because we ask and do not obtain. Why don't we receive the things we've asked for? Because we're out of fellowship with God. Paul said, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. We could insert, because this is the word, it's not just a general word for love, it's agape. Agape is the koinonia love of God. It's that love that brings you into full relationship with him. That we can live and move and have our being in him. That's what the scripture says. This is koinonia. This is what being a Christian is all about. It's not coming to church. It's not serving on the board. It's not cleaning the church. It's not witnessing to people. It's koinonia with God. Because everything flows out of that unity with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And go to 1 John 3:2. He says, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we shall know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is what Paul was talking about. We see in a mirror dimly now, but one of these days we're going to see face to face. When Jesus is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is why revelation is so important, because when you get a revelation of God, God's saying you can step up to this level. The first thing, you got to realize I'm a child of God. You got to realize you have openness with God. You have intimacy with Him. Stepping up to another level is when you begin to understand, I didn't have what I asked. God will answer all of my prayers. I can have, that's a whole different level from when I die, I'm going to heaven. Yeah. You know, you step up, well, do you really believe that prayer is worthwhile? Yeah. Well, why is prayer worthwhile? Because I get what I pray for. Isn't that one of the big problems that people in the church have? Well, you pray, but you never know what God's going to do. Jesus just said in John 14, you can have what you ask. He said, if you abide in me, you can do the same works that I do. Are you? How about even greater works than Jesus? Now that one blows me away. I'm still working to get up to the first level, and He's already given me the next level to go for. Even greater works than Jesus? I mean, what's a greater work? A greater work might be like when Peter and John are walking down the street, and people are bringing their cots out, and they're sick, and they're crippled, and they're dying, so that His shadow can fall on them. Did Jesus ever heal anybody with His shadow? Do we have that in the Scripture at all? No. But here's Peter and John just walking down the avenue, strolling, probably singing, oh, Lord Jesus, you are so good. And people are out, His shadow's over here. Move the cot, move the cot. And when the shadow falls on the person, whoa, I'm healed. That's a greater work, isn't it? We had a, oh, I got to share this. I'm not worried about getting through this chapter for today. But years ago, I had a vision of a flow of golden water over the altar. And it came down, hit the altar, and flowed down. And it flowed under the pews. And I asked a couple of people, do you see that? I didn't tell them what I saw, but I said, did you see that? They go, see what? Okay, I'm the only one that sees this. But it was, I go, it sparkled. And I was asking people to come up. I won't say who, but some of you here remember it. But I asked people to come up. I said, just come up. I said, God's here. If you come up to the front, God will touch you. And people came up, and I remember one person, they came up, and they stood right here, about 4 inches away from where I saw the gold flow, about 4 inches away. I said, step over, and they stepped over a couple inches. No, more. You need to, and they stepped, and they got their toe into the flow, and they dropped. It was fun. Everyone who came up that morning that stepped into the flow dropped. They just fell over, and God blessed them. We were having a pastor's group that I belonged to at the time. We were all charismatic and Spirit-filled, and we were here in church, and we were praying, and this one lady says, you know, I need healing, and she described what was going on with her, and she said, I need healing, and I happened to look at the floor, and there was right about here on this side of the center of the platform, there was about a 6-inch circle of gold that was still resident, still just laying there. And I said, okay, we'll pray for you, but I want you to step over here. Huh? Because when you normally pray for something like that, we're all religious, right? And normally they come to the center, which was about 8 inches, 8 to 10 inches away from where the gold was. So they came to the center. We made a circle. I said, no, let's move over this way. Have you ever seen the movies, you know, where everybody, as a group, they all march over one way and back? And it was kind of like that. You know, I said, well, move over this way. Everybody kind of shuffled over. I said, no, move a little bit more. We move, no, just a little more. And everybody goes, what is going on here? Said, just move a little bit more. Then we'll pray when you get over. And when she got in the gold, she dropped. And we prayed, and she got healed. I mean, God is good. This is the greater works. Jesus never went to the synagogue and had gold running over the synagogue. Didn't have the glory of God fill it up. But we've had it here. Greater works than what Jesus did. Now, could I ever imagine that? And somebody go out and say, well, when there's gold flowing. No, that's just a symbol. Why? Because Jesus is here. We don't need to see gold flowing from the altar. You don't need to see an angel to get healed or get delivered. You don't need to see one with a flaming sword and just, you know, doing everything, protecting you. You just need to know you're one with God. That you have intimacy with Him. That I can talk to Him. That I can pour my heart out to Him. And God will take the patience to listen to me cry and beg and plead. And then he might say to you what he said to me several times. Are you done yet? And I remember one specific time he said, no, I'm not quite finished yet. He just kind of, okay, go ahead. I could feel him shaking his head. So I went on crying for about another 5 minutes. And then I said, okay, I'm done now. He said, okay, can I talk? Yes, Father. You know, and he said, okay, now start confessing the word. You've poured out all the junk. Now start confessing the word. So I don't feel like confessing the word. Confess the word. Okay. I mean, when God talks to you, you hate to be disobedient, you know, when you feel like he's standing right next to you. So I started confessing the word. Thank you, God, that I'm saved. You know, have you ever done that? Thank you, God, that I'm born again. Thank you, Father, that you're with me. Lord, I appreciate, Father, that you're with me, that I'm saved. And God, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not alone any longer. And, well, God, then you start thinking, I really am thankful, Father, that I'm saved. I really am grateful, God, that you're with me. Lord, I know that I turn my back on you. I know I want to do things on my own, but God, I thank you that when I get to the end of my rope that you are there and you're with me. And within 5 minutes, I'm going through the sanctuary and I'm praising God. My hands are up in the air. Lord, I thank you, God, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I will cast it down in the name of Jesus Christ, for this is my heritage, and I'm a servant of the Lord. And I was just having a wild party in here all by myself. Well, God. But, you know, it got me out of my doldrum. And see, what God was bringing me back into is that fellowship with the Father, bringing me back into that place of his love, that he cares for me. And when you get in that place, I said this last week in a different way, but when you get in that place of the love of God, you realize no matter who yelled at you, no matter what kind of trouble came your way, it doesn't matter at all. It is unimportant. Why? Because I'm right with God. And I don't have to worry about what other people do. Yeah, but what if? What can keep me from praising God? I will worship you forever. And there is nothing that we can endure that can stop us from worshiping God. Amen. Absolutely nothing. Now, as children, we're still growing in God's love. But as we behold him, we're changed. As you grasp a little bit more of his love, it changes you, it leads you, it teaches you and brings you into those things. The more of God we behold, the more we change. And I'll hold this out to you. This is a real biggie. We have a hope of becoming as Jesus is. Now, my denomination taught this, and they had no clue what they were talking about. We should be conformed to his likeness. And the image that they had of his likeness is Jesus on a cross. And unfortunately, too many Christians have that image of Jesus on the cross, suffering, dying, bleeding, hurting. Lord, I'm just here to suffer for you. I got news for you. If you haven't heard, he's not on the cross anymore. He has been raised from the dead. The image of Jesus that you and I can be conformed to is not the suffering Christ, but the resurrected Christ. Yes, the Jesus who seated, get this, in intimacy, in koinonia, at the right hand of the Father. Yes. The Bible says you and I are seated in heavenly places with him. Yes. How can you be seated if you don't have koinonia? The very fact that he'd say, hey, come over here and sit by there, it's like you've got koinonia. And isn't it wonderful that Jesus came up to us and took us by the hand, said, come be with me. Come on, let's go. And just leads us gently over. And I want you to sit here. But Jesus, this is where you belong. I know it, but I want you to sit there. Well, I won't stay long. Stay as long as you want. Stay for all of eternity. Because I'm not jealous that you're in my seat, because it's mine to give. Didn't Jesus say that? It's mine to give. And I give it to whoever I please. And it's still Jesus' seat. But he can give it to you. Jesus did not think it robbery to be equal with God. We shouldn't either. Because that's what koinonia is all about. That's what the fellowship is all about. And having this hope causes us to purify ourselves. And this is so crucial to John in this letter, because this is walking in the light as he is in the light. It is refusing to walk in darkness. It is renewing our mind to thinking the way that Jesus thinks. It is the point of the letter, but some have crept in and they've declared that, well, there's no longer any sin. Jesus has either done away with it or it never existed at all. That they deny, as we shared last week out of 1 John, they deny that Jesus is the Christ. Now, what they're saying is this: you can be God-like without God. You don't need a Savior. Well, I do. I need a Savior. Every time that God reminds me that I'm seated in His place, in heavenly places, He reminds me it's not because of me, it's because of Him. Once I forget that saving, delivering power of Jesus, it becomes works. It becomes the thing of the flesh. So John is reminding us, while we're children of God, while we can, it was shared last week, that we can, I teach you these things so you sin not. And we talked about how that is, that you don't break fellowship with God. That you don't walk out of the unity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but you stay in that fellowship. As I stay in that fellowship, I can live without sin, because He cleanses me of all unrighteousness. He forgives me. And He does all this. Why? Oh, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Get a hold of this. Get a grip on this. This is the love of God. This is what He has invited you and me into, that we can be co-laborers, participants with God in all the things that God wants done. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. Oh, praise You, God. Father, we thank You. We thank You, God, for Your love. We thank You, Father, for all that You have given to us. We thank You, Father. We worship You, Father, Lord, for that You've invited us to be with You. Not to come to church, not to be religious, not to do all the stuff that so many people think religion is. But God, You called us to know who You are, to be with You now in this life, that we can know You more fully in the next. God, we praise You. Father, I pray today, if there's, and I know everybody here, God, but Lord, that we would renew a relationship with You, God. Now, Lord, I know, I invite You, God, back into my life. Lord, in the areas where I've strayed, Lord, come back into my life. Make me whole again. Make me complete in You, Father, that I can know You as fully as You know me, God. Lord, give me that koinonia. Give me the knowledge that I would know of that koinonia with You, Father. Lord, I will praise You. I will worship You forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.